Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Amen. So tonight we are starting on the Apostolic Church, and we are going to be trying to define what it means to be apostolic. I know that today we have a lot of people throwing that phrase around, throwing that word around, and everybody's apostolic. You know, once upon a time we had, and it still does exist, you know, the apostolic denomination, and it was looked upon just as a denominational structure. But tonight we're going to look at the apostolic as it is and as it relates to the scripture, the way that God intended, okay? This particular word needs to be resuscitated. In other words, we need to begin to breathe life, amen, and the life that God intended into this word, okay? Because this is not about denominational identification. This is not about us saying that we are a part of, you know, one particular doctrinal belief or whatever, okay? But this really right here conveys an idea that we will find in Scripture. Okay, and even as Paul said that I might apprehend Christ for that which he have apprehended me. When Paul said that, that conveys the same idea about the apostolic. In other words, he was saying that I might be able to arrest God and the things of God, take hold of the things of God for the same reason that God has allowed himself to take hold of me. And so we need to be able to take hold of the things of God and take hold of the apostolic and understand what that word really represents, okay? Now, this word apostolic means it is really just a seeking out. It's a restoring of all that was once authentic, all that was held dear, all that was believed, and all that was understood, and all that was vital in the first church, okay? And you'll find that all throughout the book of Acts. This is what the word apostolic conveys throughout the scripture, okay? This word apostolic brings to mind the heart and the spirit and the sense for which the church was called. And the church was called to walk in the power and the glory of God. Okay? So the church in the beginning, we have to understand, the church in its beginning was apostolic. That's the way God intended it. Meaning that, you know, the things that the Lord, the doctrine and the teachings and the anointing and the power that the apostles walked in, this is what we mean when we're talking about being that apostolic church. Okay, and just as the church in its inception was an apostolic entity, so should the church in its conclusion. When Jesus comes, he should come back to a church that is walking in the power and the ministry of the apostolic. That same spirit, okay, that he discharged to the apostles, we should still, this church today, should be walking in that same spirit. That spirit of the apostolic really just says that that we as a body of believers, we can overcome, okay, we can stand, and that we can witness, and we can testify, okay, and not just testify, but we can penetrate this culture. Okay? And it doesn't matter who it is that's trying to resist the truth of God. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, we can penetrate this culture. We can get in it, amen, and convey the power of God and the Word of God in its entirety, amen, and in its integrity. Okay? One of the problems that we have as a body of believers is that we are satisfied with just calling ourselves, you know, apostolic, or saying that we are apostles, or we believe in whatever the scripture says. You know, we have a lot of verbal statements, but we don't have, you know, we don't have any power behind it. We got a lot of affirmations, but there is nothing, you know, that corresponds with that we say we believe in. And so I believe that even in this teaching tonight, that's part of what we want to stir up in the spirit, we want to stir up in you, that you not only just have a verbal statement, don't just have a creole affirmation, but you got to have this thing in actuality. You got to be able to really and truly walk this thing out with all of your heart, and that you possess you know what I'm saying, the power of God, and all that belongs to you, because you belong to the kingdom of God, and because you belong to God, that you could be able to flow in these things, and these things need to flow in us and in our particular houses of worship, our churches where we go to fellowship. Okay? Now, we have to understand that it is important for us as believers to understand the authority that God has given us and understand what the message was that he gave to the apostles, okay? And when we think about the apostolic, we have to understand that that one word is just pregnant with all of God's possibilities. That word is pregnant with everything that pertains to healing and deliverance and salvation and the power of God. And so we need to be able to embrace all of that so that we could bring that to the people, because we are dealing with a world that is lost. We're dealing with a people that don't have any hope. We're dealing with a people, amen, that don't know who God is. They're worshiping many things and many gods, but they don't really know who God is. And so if they're going to be able to embrace God, then we are going to have to bring God to the people. That is part of our responsibility. Okay, now I also want to give you another definition of the apostolic or an apostle, okay, because we're going to talk about this ministry tonight and we're going to continue to lay the foundation, okay. An apostle is a specially commissioned messenger, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apostles are granted by God plenipotentiary status, in other words, undiscretionary power, okay, and powers that are delegated through spherical principalities over which they rule. Apostles serve as Christ's stratospheric warriors and gubernatorial servants in the earth. In other words, what this definition is saying is that God has given the apostle power to walk, amen, and in authority, just as we know that there are principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. God has also allowed the apostle to walk, amen, as a territorial principality in the spirit realm. That apostle has been given authority, okay, over realms in the spirit. That apostle has been given, amen, power and authority over territories. Okay, and so this is why when an apostolic ministry comes into a specific neighborhood or a specific area, there should be change in the economy. There should be change, praise God, in the churches that are neighboring in that area, because the territory, the atmosphere in that territory should shift and change because there is an apostolic spirit in the midst. But all too often, what we find is, you know, we have the power of God at our church, and God is moving over here at our church, but up the street, we don't see the power of God. And that's not the will of God. And so, really, truly, and you find that even as Paul and Barnabas and all those other apostles, they traveled from place to place, there were you know, atmospheric changes. There were things that took place in the spirit that demons began to come out. And they would have encounters with sorcerers and folks who were bound in demonic, you know, possession, because when that spirit comes into the territory, it causes a disturbance. And see, the thing about it is that because we don't know this, because, you know, a lot of times we're not teaching this, we just feel like, well, you know, if we're just walking in apostolic ministry, that's just that title. And so this is what I'm talking about really possessing the meaning, amen, of that word, knowing that that word, amen, is pregnant, that when God places that mantle on a man or woman of God, that there is a ruling, there is a power that God is desiring to bring to a specific territory, and the apostle has the power to bring that power into that area. And in order for that to happen, we have to begin to lay the foundations. We have to begin to declare what we know is in the Word of God according to our faith, and stand on the Word of God after we have declared it, and wait for God to manifest as he has manifested in the book of Acts. All right? Now, we know that in the book of Acts chapter 13, we see There's so much that's going on in that one particular chapter, but in Acts chapter 13, we see that there is power. There is a demonstration coming forth. There is an apostolic sending, and Paul and Barnabas are sent forth. But there's also demonic encounter in that particular chapter. And see, the reason that is because there is a dimension of the power of God that have come to the people because of that apostolic anointing. All right, and if there was no need for it, God would never have set it in motion. He would never have set it there in the body for us to be able to, amen, to be able to glean from that gift and to be able to receive of that gift so that we can receive all that God has, you know, what he has for us in the spirit realm. I want to look at the first page in our study guide. I'll look at the first page in our study guide. Okay. Distinguishing marks of the apostolic church. The word of God declares in Hosea 6 and 3, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain and the former rain upon the earth. We are on the verge of a new wave of God's glory that will flow across the earth. A divine realignment is coming forth in the church for the strategic placement of God's people and to fulfill his purpose. The very foundations of church, as we know it, are being shaken by God even now to remove those things that are not rooted and grounded in him, Jesus Christ. And so we know that that is part of the purpose of that apostolic ministry, is to come and to root out. We got to see change in the church because we have gone along for so long and we have seen the same old over and over and over again. We can come into church late because we know at 11:05 this is what they're going to be doing. They're going to be taking up offering at 12 o'clock. So we know that we can stay out of church until a certain time because it has become so predictable. Because there is no life, there is no spirit, there is no power moving in the house of God. Okay? So with the emerging of God's apostles and prophets, God's government shall be established, and the spirit of the apostolic will then be released within the local churches universally, and the apostolic church shall arise, uniting together as one body in Christ, culminated into the destiny of the church of Jesus Christ. I believe that God's will for us is not for us to just come to church and to shout and to dance and to speak in tongues and for us to leave the same way we came. There are some things that God has ordained that he desires to take place in his body as we come together and we fellowship, but because we are ignorant to his truths, because, amen, we don't know what it is that is his perfect will for us, we tend to settle for whatever has been set before us. It's kind of like, you know, not knowing, you know, if you go to somebody's house and they serving dinner and, you know, they just serving you a bologna sandwich, you know, when you could have stayed home and had steak. And so here's what I'm saying about that. You got to desire more of God. You got to desire more of God. And that's having that spirit of the apostolic in the midst of us, knowing what, amen, what it entails, knowing what God has imparted into that particular gift in the body. We've already talked about the ministry of the prophet, amen. We already understand, praise God, what that ministry of the prophet is and all of the different things that come forth, some of the different things anyway, that come forth out of that gift. But as we call ourselves apostolic, amen, we need to know what it means to really flow in the things of God and be able to produce by the power of God, you know, authentic ministry, authentic power, and all of that comes through us having a real relationship with God. Okay, so what must a local body of believers do to receive this impartation? The ministry of the apostle and the prophet must be received and embraced. For decades, the ministry of the apostle and the prophet have been excluded and shunned. Through traditional and religious teachings, many leaders veered off the path and have not followed the pattern of God, his word in its entirety. And I know some of you maybe remember we talked about that pattern in an earlier lesson. We talked about, amen, that when you are creating a garment, it first begins with a pattern. And if you want that garment, whatever it is that you're making, if you want it to come out right, you got to follow the pattern. And so God has already set forth in his word the pattern that is necessary in order for us to have, amen, and possess what his word declares for us. And in order for us to have it, we got to go back to that pattern. That pattern comes forth through the word of God. Amen. And it's the apostle's job to begin to share with the body what it is that, you know, that God has set as that pattern, so that we can become all that God has created us to be. Amen. So you can't expect, you know, it's like, you know, you go on a job, and mostly all jobs have orientation. You know what I'm saying? But we come to the church, there's no orientation. We don't go through no training, some of us anyway. Amen. And we just expect for people to come in, get saved, get filled with the Holy Ghost, read your Bible, and then just take it from there. But there has to be some imparting, some training, some teaching, and all of this comes forth as we allow those gifts to have their expression in the body of Christ. We already know what Ephesians 4 says, and so we need to let these gifts have expression, because it's only going to cause the body to grow. Okay? And back to the last sentence that I just read, traditional and religious teachings have caused so many people to veer off of what God has truly ordained. All it takes is a little bit of search through history, and you will see all the things that the church has gone through, amen, in the last 2,000 years, and you'll begin to see how we have lost, amen, our authentic, amen, stand, amen, our authentic teachings. The things that Christ, amen, originally left for the church to do has been poisoned, praise God, by pagan thought, amen, and pagan teachings. Praise God, and different philosophies of the world. And because we want to listen to theologians better than we want to listen to God, amen, we have lost what God has intended for us. And that's why we need this apostolic spirit in the body of Christ. Amen. That's why I was saying we have to bring life into it again. We got to resuscitate, amen, that word apostle, that word apostolic, and let it live, amen, in the midst of the church, because we need it. We need it. And when we say apostolic, we only mean that which is pertaining to the apostle. So what we're asking for from God is, Lord, we want you to revive the spirit of the apostles. We want you, oh God, to, even as we know that you have sent apostles in the body, Lord God, in these last days, Father, we want you to allow them to rule in our midst. We want you, Lord God, to use them to set order in your house. We want you, oh God, to use them, oh God, to strengthen the body of Christ and to set us, oh God, in the place where we should be, so that we can walk in the power and the authority of God. Amen. That is the pattern, and we got to get back to the pattern. Amen. All right. So the word of God says in Ephesians 2 and 20 and 21, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And I want to say a little sidebar right here. Okay, and I know that some churches do this, but we need to go back to the scripture. The Bible tells us that Jesus is our chief apostle. Amen. And it's carnal, it's really carnal for men to call themselves chief apostles. We have a chief apostle, one. Amen. The Bible does not say that God has ordained in the body chief apostles. It says he has given apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some teachers, some evangelists. Amen, for the upbuilding of the church. Amen, for the edifying of the church, for the upbuilding of the saints. That is what, amen, God has left here. We got to get back to what God has set before us and get rid of this worldly stuff. Get rid of, amen, the world's way of doing things. We don't need the world's titles. We don't need to follow, amen, whatever the world is doing. We need to follow what God has said. His pattern is in the word. So we don't have to come up with something better. He's already come up with something better. So we need to follow, amen, what he has given us. Praise God. All right. So we're already built on that foundation, the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple of the Lord. What will take place when the apostolic anointing is received? Where the apostle and the prophet are received and embraced, an establishing will take place on the biblical pattern. In other words, amen, when you establish something, you make it firm. Amen. You make it, amen, so that it can stand. Praise God. And that's what we need. Amen. To establish means that you're going to institute something permanently. Now, remember I said over time, we have lost something. We have lost the thing that God has established us on. And so we need this ministry, amen, to be revived in the body so that we can get back, amen, to that, amen, permanent, stable, firm place that God has called us to. That is the will of God. That is the will of God for his people. Amen. So what are some of the things that you'll see, amen, that will distinguish the apostolic church? Number one, the apostolic church walks in love. Number two, the apostolic church walks in revelation. The apostolic church walks in unity and wisdom and power and signs and wonders. Now, I want to slow down for a minute because some of the other signs of apostolic ministry, and I said this a little earlier, and that is that these gifts have got to have expression in the body, okay? These gifts have got to work together to build the house. That apostle has got to be able to establish, to strengthen, and empower the people of God. Those prophets have got to confirm, be able to confirm and identify, bring guidance, and be able to prophesy in-house. The pastors need to be able to shepherd and care and build up the people of God. The teachers need to be able to expound on the truth and bring spiritual growth, amen, to the body of Christ. The evangelist needs to be able to comfort and keep Christ alive before the people. The evangelist has to also, amen, be preaching outside of the church, amen, and consistently involved in outreach. I don't understand how people call themselves evangelists and they haven't evangelized anybody. Amen. And so we have to, amen, begin to, and that's back to what we said in the introduction, and that is we have all of these credos. We have all of these affirmations, but we're not possessing any of it. And so this is where we want to come. We want to come back to the place of actually walking in what we say. If we are an apostolic body of believers, then let the spirit of the apostolic flow. If we are apostles, then let us walk in the power and the authority and the anointing of the apostle. If we are prophets, let's do what the prophets are supposed to do. Amen. As with all the other gifts. And something that I really love about this particular part of the teaching is that, you know, love and revelation, amen, has got to come forth in the apostolic church. Unity, wisdom, power, signs and wonders. But I love this about having love, because sometimes people think when you say you love them that means that you're not going to confront them. Love is confrontational. Deliverance is confrontational. Amen. And so sometimes there has to be a confrontation in order for us to see what it is that God has called us to. Sometimes you have to be shown, amen, that you're not where you're supposed to be. Apostolic ministry confronts. And that's just what it does. Apostolic ministry confronts. Then there's this bit of revelation. There should be fresh revelation. Amen. Just as, praise God, Israel in the wilderness, God gave them fresh manna daily. Amen. Because they could not live off of old revelation. Likewise, God is looking, amen, to be able to pour into us a fresh revelation so that we can live off that fresh revelation. And even amen, in Deuteronomy says the things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever. You have to understand that once something has become revelation to you, you can live it. That is how come we can walk in deliverance today, because of the simple fact that we have a revelation of Jesus Christ, because we have a revelation that there is power through the blood of Christ, because we have a revelation and understanding that we don't have to live in sin anymore. So revelation makes all the difference. If you can have it, if you can receive revelation from God, then you can live on a different dimension. And so this is why it is necessary for us to have the power of God and the revelation of God moving in our midst. The cry of the Spirit of God is that we, the church, will be revived, restored, refreshed, and established on a true foundation and do the work of the ministry. Ephesians 4 tells us simply what that work is. Each gift has a specific ministry. each person in the body of Christ has a specific ministry, and we need to be able to walk in those ministries. Praise God. The apostolic church will rest in the finished work of Christ and understand the ministry, the mystery of the Father's grace. Amen. That is where we live. Amen. We understand that when Jesus hung his head on the cross and said, "It is finished," he meant just what he said. It is finished. And so we don't need, amen, to try to figure out how we're going to live for God, because the work, amen, has already been completed for us. God is love, and his people will walk in love toward all men. 1 John 2 and 5 says, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." Jesus said in John 13, 34 and 35, "And a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also will love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for the other." For one another. It's important for us to love each other. Amen. Love is not going to let me walk, amen, in error and leave me there. Love is going to come, amen, and lovingly correct me. Amen. Because you desire that I not be lost. So likewise with us, when we love one another, we have to begin, praise God, to understand that love is not just always letting our brother go along, you know, and be wrong forever, but love will also lead and guide, praise God, into truth. That is God's desire for us, okay? Now, I want to look real quick before I finish reading. Well, let me read this last paragraph, and then we're going to look in the back of your book where you have your book excerpt, and we're going to look at page 61, but I want to finish this real quick. "The church will no longer be contained within four walls, but will have the heart of the Father to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come. The church will once again be the reflection of Jesus Christ, manifesting the goodness of God to the world. The goodness of God leads to repentance." That's Romans 2 and 4. "All creation itself is crying out for the manifestation of the sons of God." And I want to say again about, amen, the culture in which we live. The apostolic church is not allowing the world to dictate to it what we should wear, how we should live, you know, how much money we should have, amen, what our lifestyle should be like, amen. That's pop culture, but that's not the way that the church is supposed to live. That's not the way the apostolic church is supposed to live, amen. The apostolic church is a counterculture, comes against, amen, everything that is not like God, amen. And we are the ones, amen, that are the patterns of the believers. So it is our responsibility to come forth and show the world, amen, what truly living is all about, because they haven't seen it. They don't know what truly living for God is like, or even just having a real life, amen, because you see it all over the place, amen, all over the news. These people, they have all this money, and they're miserable, amen. These superstars, they have all this money, amen, and they're losing everything, because we already know that true happiness and joy is only found in God. I want to look, amen, on page 61. If you look all the way to the back of your book, there's a portion where it says there's a book excerpt, "A Restoration of the Modern Day Prophet." And I'm going to read to you a section about rebirth of apostolic prophetic teams. And this is it says on the bottom of the page, page 61. So you can read along. Okay. I want to look real quick. Look real quick on the last part of page 60. "And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God, and went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches." The word "confirming" in the Greek is the word epistereo, which means to strengthen or to support further. And so this is an example of apostolic ministry. That apostolic ministry, the apostles go forth to strengthen the churches, okay? "This is the heart of the apostolic prophetic team relationship and ministry. The apostle and the prophet work as a balanced fatherly team to help bolster and serve the local church. In addition to what we have already covered in chapter 4, this is, you know, if you finish reading, the apostle brings to the team an added dimension of structure and government. This type of structure doesn't produce a well-oiled machine, but it produces a healthy and vibrant man, the body of Christ. Together, the apostle and the prophet work as an apostolic team to plant, raise, and establish local churches. And in the midst of these works, they cultivate proper eldership teams with one senior elder, which would end up being the pastor, I'm just adding to the reading, who are raised to take the oversight of the planted works. Through this establishing process, the apostolic leadership team identifies, acknowledges, and trains. Look at those words again. Identifies, acknowledges, and trains those gifts located within the local church body. This, in turn, helps to further develop a multifaceted ministry in and through the church body. As spiritual dads, the team helps discern God's blueprint for each individual church with the realization that all churches are distinct due to such factors as culture, locality, the needs of the people, etc. In other words, the apostle, amen, when we go back and look at what we were just reading on the first page of the study guide, and it talks about that some of the distinguishing marks of the apostolic church, wisdom, amen, somebody that's operating in the apostolic ministry, amen, the apostle, amen, and the prophet working together, and, you know, they walk in wisdom, and they're able to discern as they go to different church bodies, amen, to go and help to establish, to strengthen them, to identify gifts, and to train those gifts. They understand that each body is different. You can't, amen, you can't use what's going to work in the inner city and be effective. May not be as effective out in the suburbs. So it takes wisdom and it takes revelation. And so these gifts working together know what God's, they seek God's blueprint and find out what it is. And from there, know what God's blueprint is for the body so that the church can be built up. Okay? And then I love the fact that in this portion of the reading, you see the term used, spiritual fathering. It's important because people nowadays, and it's sad and it's unfortunate, something that we see in the body of Christ on a regular basis, and that is that people sometimes, you know, because of their different upbringing or whatever, they may not know the things that they should know. Just because they're 40 years old doesn't mean that they know, amen, how to behave like an adult should behave. So there's still a need for fathering and mothering in the spirit. Amen. And we talked about that in an earlier study. But even in this, you know, going forth to impart into them, even in that, Paul talked about that. He said, I desire to come unto you that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift. So apostles can come to bring impartation of the gifts to others. And so this is why we need this ministry operating in the body. We need that apostolic anointing. We need it. All right, let's go to the next page here, back to the apostolic church. And we're going to look at that where it says chapter 1, the ministry of the apostle and the spirit of the apostolic. There are two aspects of the apostolic. Number one, the one who is called and functions as an apostle. And number two, the apostolic spirit that the Lord releases. God is restoring the role and the office of the apostle prophet. They will challenge the old and reveal the new. And where received, an impartation of the apostolic will penetrate the very core of each believer. A repositioning in the spirit will take place, bringing divine alignment, a restructuring, and God's order. And that goes back to what I said earlier, that apostles have been given territorial authority. So when those apostles come in, there ought to be a shift. Amen. If we are walking, amen, under an apostolic ministry and an apostolic mantle, then we have got to understand that when we come into a territory, a shift in ought to take place. Amen. When we walk, amen, into a building, amen, you're not just an apostle when you at church. That anointing goes with you to the grocery store. That anointing goes with you, amen, when you shopping for clothes. That anointing goes with you when you go get your car fixed. You can't put it on and take it off. Amen. Jesus was Jesus wherever he went. And the power of God that rested on him wherever he was. And so we have got to understand that this is what God has desired for us. This is the will of God, that we begin to understand the power and the authority that he has given us in his kingdom, and that we walk in it. Okay? That repositioning in the spirit. We got to see some repositioning. There's some changes that should be taking place. Okay? All believers have resident in them, within them, the anointing of Christ. Therefore, all believers should, number one, they should have a heart to reach the uttermost. In other words, that as many as God send you to, you should have a heart to reach him. And even those that you probably would never be able to see, your heart should still be going out to the lost. You should have an ear to hear God and be able to speak for him. You don't have to be a prophet to prophesy. But that gift, the Bible tells us to desire the best gifts. So what might be best for me may not be best for you. But we should still covet the best gifts. We should covet prophecy because we want the body of Christ to be encouraged. Every believer should have a heart to win the lost. Every believer should have a hunger for the word and should share revelation with others. You can't share revelation if you don't have any. And so that's why it's important for us to have relationship. That means that we got to come out of religion. Come out of whatever our denomination is. And being stuck on denomination. And we got to know God and have the power of God resting on us. We have to also have a heart to disciple others. It's not just the pastor's job to shepherd. Amen. We shepherd people every day. If you encourage somebody in your church, if you talk to somebody in the checkout line, and you are encouraging them, that's shepherding. That's how you make a disciple, is through teaching and spending time. Discipleship takes place over a course of time, and it's through relationship. And relationship is necessary, and we need to get back to that place of relationship. Amen. Thus, God, through the ministry of the apostles, shall release the spirit of that ministry. And that's what we want. We want the spirit of that ministry, the spirit of the ministry that Paul had, the spirit of the ministry that Jesus had, the spirit of the ministry that Peter had and John. That is the spirit that we want to see, amen, in our churches. The spirit of the apostolic. Divine connections will be made, uniting ministry with local churches. Amen. What we're doing right now, amen, is the God, by his spirit, has united us and given us, amen, allowed us to connect together so that we'll be able to impart and pour into one another. That's the will of God. All right? So to give further understanding here, just as the prophet, when he's received, speaks by divine inspiration, cutting through deception and imparting the prophetic spirit, so it is with the ministry of the apostle. A deposit of that gift is made, which will restructure the heart of believers as well as restructure the foundation of the local church. If there is a true apostle that comes into a church, that church should not be the same. Amen. When Paul and those left of a city, amen, we read, amen, that the people said, these are they that have turned the world upside down. That meant that everything, when they came in that territory, amen, there was a repositioning, amen, in the spirit realm because of that territorial authority that the apostle possesses. He walks in or she walks in, amen, and demons begin to cry out because they realize and recognize that, amen, there's another power that they have just encountered. And so this is necessary. Amen. There is a deposit of this gift. We need true apostles that's willing to pour out. Like Paul said, I want to leave with you some spiritual gift. I want to leave something here. Amen. And unlike some people today, amen, we traveling, we going here and there, but we ain't going unless we take an offering. And the bottom line is, we coming to get our honorarium, but we're not imparting no spiritual gifts. So when we leave, the people's lives are not changed. When we leave, who has been transformed because of our being there? Who can say that their life has been transformed because they have come into contact and have encountered apostolic ministry? It is necessary. And we have to desire it. We need to desire it. Being like Paul said, I desire. He had it in his heart. It's what he wanted to do. It's what he knew he was created to do. I got to come and I got to impart this gift to you. This is apostolic ministry. All right? Looking at chapter 2, the archetype. A pattern as defined in brief by Webster's is something to be imitated. And we talked about pattern before. Amen. It's something to be imitated. A person or thing considered worthy of imitation or copying, or a model or plan used as a guide. And you'll see that much of what I'm saying to you, I'm being very repetitious. I'm saying the same thing over and over again. Why? Because I'm trying to drive home this point that you will understand that the pattern has already been given to us through the Word of God, and we've got to go back and take up that pattern again. Because what we have done is we have forsaken that pattern that God has left with us in the Scripture, and we have followed the religious ways of man. We have followed our denominational structures. We have followed, amen, what other people have set before us and told us that this is what we're supposed to do. Instead of looking at the Scripture and really truly embracing this, amen, spirit of the apostolic like God has designed for us. We need this pattern. God has set forth that pattern. This pattern, amen, is the model that shows us how to make what God has ordained. If we want to see what we have seen in the book of Acts, then we got to get back to the pattern. We got to get back to the pattern. We are to be imitators of Christ, being transformed by the Spirit of God into His image. The book of Acts reveals a pattern of how the church should function. Number one, souls should be saved. When is the last time somebody got saved at church? I mean, really saved. I'm not talking about this, we saved today, and then next week they're back at the altar again repentant. I'm talking about a bona fide transformation in the life of somebody else who have really truly encountered the Spirit of God. Something that has brought true transformation. There should be a continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Remember, we said that. We got to get back to it. So again, a brief look at history will show us how religion and man's greed and man's evil ways, amen, have caused us to leave the true pattern that God has set for His church. And I said to some people, amen, the other day I said to them, you know what? Our fathers, and I'm going to keep saying it, our fathers have sinned. Our fathers have left a mark. And we are the ones who God is looking to. Amen, to fix this mess that we have made, that has been made in His church. God is looking for us to get back to the pattern that He has set before us. Let's leave this denominational stuff alone. Let's get a hold of God again. Let's follow what God, amen, has set for us in the Scripture. The next thing, breaking of bread. Amen. We don't even sit and eat together. You can eat with somebody and not really be in fellowship with them. You can fellowship with them, and that don't mean that you're sitting down and breaking bread with them. Breaking bread speaks of intimacy. What do we usually do when we sit down to the table to eat? We usually conversate. So when we're talking about breaking bread, it's talking about sharing of our heart. It's talking about being in true relationship with one another so that we can receive from each other what God has poured into the other. That's what that's about. That's what that's about. The other pattern that has been left for the church is that we should be in prayer. We should be a praying church. We should be a church on fire for God. We should be a church in relationship with our Father because we love Him. Amen. And because all of these things existed in the early church, fear came upon all, and many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. And I want to say this. You know, you cannot be going through identity crisis and be effective. You got to come through this identity thing. You cannot be constantly asking yourself, who am I? What does God want me to do? What did God anoint me to do? Does the Lord want to use me? You got to come through that. Because you have to understand that when you are walking under this mantle of apostolic ministry, you got to understand that when you walk into the building, everything changes. When you walk, amen, into a new state or a territory, amen, that there are cosmic disturbances because you showed up in the power of God. This, amen, is where we are supposed to be walking, not questioning who we are. We already know who we are. And now we should be walking in the power and the authority that God has set in us. Hallelujah. The apostolic church is one that has received restored present-day truth. Paul talked about preaching present-day truth. He talked about preaching present truth. That's all scriptural. Okay? So the apostolic church is one that has received restored present-day truth. Us, what we're talking about tonight, this is the present truth. That we know that God desires us to follow the pattern that he has left for the church, and there is a ministry that has been left for the church. There is an inheritance, amen, of spiritual things that has been left for the church, and God is looking for us to, amen, follow that pattern and bring it into the earth. This is God's desire for us. Amen. So if you are receiving that present-day truth, you should be willing to pay the price to know Christ and allow the Spirit of God to infiltrate the very structure of government in the local church. And when a true apostle comes in, when God sends in the Spirit, his Spirit, amen, he has a due order. He has a way that he wants everything, line upon line and precept upon precept. And when we, amen, have come into contact with a true apostolic ministry, amen, there's going to be a confrontation. Amen. The very structure on which we have built our ministries is going to be challenged because we're going to begin to look at what it is that God has been showing to us through, amen, the word that is coming forth, and we're going to have to examine ourselves to see whether we really are in the faith. This is what apostolic ministry does. It's not about just having a traveling ministry. Going from church to church, what are you doing? What are you doing when you get there? What are you doing in your local house? What structure? What kind of structure is in your house? Amen. And then what kind of structure is in the heart of the people? True apostolic ministry is going to deal with whatever you have set your heart on. Old mindsets will willingly be put to death to gain the mind of Christ. Paul states in Philippians 3:10 that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. An apostolic people are willing to lose all to gain Christ. Their desire is his desire and vice versa. His heart has become their heart. His heart has become your heart. They have received the apostle and the impartation of the spirit of the apostolic, and they are on the pursuit or in pursuit to please the Father, not man, with a heart of love for all of mankind. And then back to this love thing again. Apostolic ministry cuts to the core. It brings to you up close and up close and personal the ministry of the knife. That is what apostolic ministry does. Apostolic, and when you come in contact with this true ministry, it's going to make you mad. It's going to make you mad. It's going to make you want to quit. It's going to make you want to leave your church. It's going to make you upset. It's going to make you want to throw in the towel. Why? Because it's confrontational. And because we have become accustomed to religious structures, because we have become accustomed to people just blowing smoke, and we have not really truly seen the real thing. When the real thing show up, we don't know how to embrace it. And that's every one of us. God wants us to be able to embrace, amen, this present truth. And if we're going to embrace it, we got to embrace the ministry of the knife that comes with it. There's no way you can have one without the other. There's no way. Motives of your heart, God will expose. Your true self, who you really are, God will expose. And this is why we need this ministry. Hallelujah. Let's look at chapter 3. The apostolic ministry is abnormal. The church that receives the apostle cannot remain the same, and it will deviate from what is termed as normal. And to many, what will appear as abnormal, they're going to think, okay, something wrong with this church. Why can't I just do what I want to do? They didn't tell me nothing about this over at my other church. This just, I don't believe that this here is God. The apostolic church will no longer fit to a predetermined mold of religion and tradition. Say goodbye to religion and tradition. And let me tell you something. We love our traditions. We love being religious. And we don't realize it until God kills our golden calf. And when he starts dealing with the things that we hold sacred, that's when we know that we have been caught up in something other than God. So if we find ourselves, amen, being confronted, let's just give God praise, because we know that we're involved in true ministry now. The real pattern has shown up, and we need to embrace this thing. Full of faith in God and believing that all things are possible, apostolic believers shall venture out doing as Jesus commanded in Mark 16:17-18. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The apostolic church will be unpredictable and full of spontaneity. That does not mean that the church is going to be crazy. But it's just like the Bible says. Jesus talked about those who walk by the Spirit. And the Bible says that the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hear the sound thereof. You don't know where it's coming from, and you don't know where it's going. And that is the way that it is with every man that walks by the Spirit of God. Amen. You cannot predict when God is going to move. You can't say, oh, y'all need to come together. We're going to have these services, and God's going to move by his Spirit. You hope God show up. You can't control God. You cannot control God. Amen. The Spirit of God is bringing transition that will offend many. For this great move of God is not based on theology or opinions, organizational doctrine, or the traditions of men, but it is based on the sovereign will of God. Luke 1:17 says, he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's what this ministry is all about. It ain't about naming lights. It's not about having an itinerary. It is about making ready a people prepared for the Lord. We talked about also in the previous lesson that spirit of Elijah has got to come back. That spirit that confronts, that spirit that exposes. And we don't like exposure. We do not like exposure. Amen. Unless it's putting us in a good light. We do not like exposure. We want to be coddled. We want to be, amen, hugged and rubbed and loved. And it's okay. This is still a part of love. It's the other side of love that we've been shunning and we have been staying away from. Hallelujah. So we're not trying to get caught up in no organizational doctrine. We're not trying to get caught up in no traditions of men. We're not trying to get caught up in no theology. Amen. We're not trying to get caught up in no opinions. Only thing we want to get caught up in is the will of God. It's the will of God. I'm trying to move a little quickly because we got a lot to cover and I want to get through. Amen. I want to stay on track tonight. Hallelujah. All right. The apostolic church is adaptable and accommodating. The apostolic church will become adaptable and accommodating to their communities. As Paul states in 1 Corinthians 9:23, I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And this goes back to us not being a subculture. We are a counterculture. You know, you got to get out here in the culture with the people. I ain't telling you, amen, Because I believe in holiness now. I'm not telling you that you got to get out there and act like the world. I'm not telling you to go clubbing so you can reach some souls, okay? I'm not telling you, amen, to go to the bar and sit up at the bar, amen, so that you can reach souls. But I am telling you that you're going to have to get in conversation with people who are not saved. If you want to see people saved, you're going to have to get out there and talk to some sinners. Amen. Jesus said in Luke 4:18-19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That just simply means to go to them and let them know that your day of liberty has arrived. This is the will of God. Who have we gone to tell them that their day of liberty has arrived? Do you even have any liberty to offer to them? We should. We should have some liberty to offer them. Amen. Adaptability will be the mark of the apostolic believer, causing them to become a servant and submissive and obedient to God's voice. You know that you're not here for yourself. God has saved you for such a time as this so that you can serve, so that you can get out there and meet the needs of the people, so that you can get out there and find, amen, some souls that are lost and lead them back to God. Jesus was mocked, ridiculed, and rejected by the religious leaders because he mingled with sinners. Oh, that we would be labeled as such, a friend of sinners, that we might win some. Matthew 11:19. Get in the culture, saints. We can't be so holy that we can't reach out to somebody because they don't look like us. Amen. We can't just turn our noses up and say, oh my God, he's a homosexual. Oh my God, she's a homosexual. We got to get out there and bring the gospel to them. We got to get out there, amen, and help them to see, amen, that there is a better way of life. And amen, we got to come in, amen, and know that we are walking, amen, in the power and the authority that God has vested in us so that we can go in and break up some stuff in the spirit. Let us follow the pattern. Follow the pattern that Jesus have left for us. Chapter 5 says that the apostolic church is advancing, accelerating, adventuresome, aggressive, audacious, and armored. I love this part. Because the apostolic church will cause the local church to advance into its destiny. And here's the thing. True apostles don't want to see you still sitting where you are. True apostles want to release you into your destiny. And the long and the short of it is this right here. If you somewhere, amen, and that's, I'm telling you, it's scriptural. Look in the book of Acts. Look in chapter 13. You got to be released into a work. You got to be released to do a work. Amen. We can't be trying to hold on to folks like they're our people. They ain't our people. They are God's people. Amen. And if we want to see people's lives transformed, we got to let folks go so they can go do what God has called and anointed them to do. The apostolic church, amen, will cause the apostolic spirit will cause the local church to advance into its destiny and will release. That's a key word, release. We're going to release understanding, wisdom. Here's that word, revelation again. And faith. Where is faith going to come from? Faith is going to be charged in the hearts of the people when they see, amen, amen, this apostolic spirit and people walking in the spirit, amen, and walking in revelation and performing signs and wonders. It is going to impart faith into others. Their faith is going to be lifted. They're going to, amen, believe God for things that they never could believe God for before. Why? Because they saw you do something in him. This will bring vision to the believers, which will birth God's purpose. United in the apostolic spirit, local churches will thrust into the darkness for the advancement of the kingdom of God. An excellent spirit will drive believers forward at a rapid pace. That's accelerating. We got to, amen, pray for a spirit of acceleration. We got to pray that God will release in us a spirit of acceleration, that we would accelerate, that we would, amen, move, amen, praise God, at his pace, amen, and accomplish what he has called us to do. Amen. They will be risk takers, willing to lose all things to win Christ. What have you risked lately? What have you risked? Another mark of the apostolic church, or the apostolic spirit, is aggressiveness. Now, I want to deal very carefully with this. They will not give up, back down, or give in, but will challenge error, confront the enemy, subduing and taking control. Amen. Jesus said, from the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. There's some things, saints of God, you got to take. You can't go in, amen, begging the devil for nothing. You got to go in and take. When you walking in with authority and you got the keys, you're not asking, can I take this? You going in and you take it. If somebody breaks into your house, you got the right to shoot them down. That's the law. So if the devil is trespassing on your property, you need to learn how to stand up, amen, and take authority over that spirit, amen, and kill that spirit that's trying to get in your house. Aggressiveness. We can't be passive in the spirit. You cannot be passive. This is not the hour for passivity. You have got to press your way. You got to, amen, get it in the place where you will confront the enemy. Don't wait for him to come on your terms. You need to confront him. That's the spirit of the apostolic. Confrontational. Taking the ground. Whatever God has decreed, that's what I'm taking. Hallelujah. The apostolic church is fully armored, according to Ephesians 6:11-13, and know that God has given them the ability and the strategy, hallelujah, to conquer the stronghold of the enemy in their communities, in their regions, and in their states. This is what we were talking about before. There is a territorial anointing that is on the apostle, and that apostolic spirit trickles down, amen. That anointing flows, amen, from the head down. So that's why it's good, amen, for us to be, amen, under a true apostolic ministry, amen, under a true apostle who understands, amen, what it is to be an apostle, so that they can, amen, impart into you, amen, the knowledge and the wisdom, and share the revelation that God has given them concerning, amen, the realm of the spirit, amen, and the authority that God has given them, which, amen, can be transferred to you because of your relationship. I hope I ain't lose nobody right there. Amen. Because of relationship, it gives you access. God's wisdom is upon them, and they are guided by his spirit. Proverbs 3:5-6. Amen. We're going to wind this up right here. Amen. The last two chapters here, chapter 6 and chapter 7. Chapter 6 talks about authority. Apostolic churches will demonstrate new levels of kingdom authority in the spirit realm and in the natural realm. We're not just talking about favor. We're talking about loving favor. There's a difference. We're not talking about, amen, just saying, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. We're talking about, amen, this confrontational spirit that takes authority over the enemy, amen, and confronts him before he comes to us. Amen. The apostolic churches, amen, will be known in the demonic realm. Remember we said that it causes atmospheric problems. When, amen, you are walking under that anointing, and when a true apostle comes into a territory, there are problems, amen, in the atmosphere. Amen, because all of, amen, the demonic hosts know, amen, that this is a general coming in, praise God, amen, and it's going to be some stuff going on here. Amen. And so I heard some people who really perverted this thought, amen, about the territorial anointing of the apostle. They're talking about, oh, we need to buy up land. We need to buy real estate. I mean, I can understand that, but that's not the gist of it. It means that territories, regions, states, amen, praise God, counties are changed and transformed just because you are there. Just because you are there. Amen. And we see a type of that even as God amen, even as God told Abraham, amen, to move out, amen, of his land. And he said to him, as he traveled, he said to him, God spoke to Abraham and told him, pray for the city, pray for the peace of the city that you dwell in, that it may be well with you. Because God knew, amen, that whatever is, amen, if your city don't have it, you can't have it. So, amen, even if that's a type of us going into a territory, amen, and praying into existence the things that are necessary in that region, amen, that is a sign of, amen, that is a type of that apostolic authority that prays, amen, into the earth realm the things that need, amen, that are needed in a region. Because every area should be affected because of that apostolic anointing that is coming into that area. Lives should be restored. Marriages should be restored. Amen. Our economic situation, I don't care what the world is going through. Amen. We should not, amen, because we got all things in common, we should not be struggling. Because we have, amen, what we need in the midst of us already. We are a community all our own. And see, we haven't grasped that concept. It's foreign to us because we follow so many other things that we see in this world instead of following what God has left in the pattern of Scripture. Now, I am not telling you to go and sell your house and go give the money to your apostle. Now, if the Lord leads you to do that, praise God. But that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying to you, amen, is that when even in this hour that we live in, we can have all things in common in the sense that if my brother have need of something, God blesses me with the abundance and I can help meet the need because God has given me, amen, extra so that I can share. Hallelujah. Amen. Apostolic churches will not be threatened by the forces of evil and will walk in revelation. It's that word again. And in the revelation of thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, and by faith reach into the heavenly realm and pull down the manifestation into the earthly realm. And that's what we just finished talking about, even as Abraham did it. All right? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The authority of the apostolic is one based out of responsibility and relationship. Responsibility and relationship. The pastor of an apostolic church is trusted, and his leadership is respected as God's authority. These pastors are true shepherds over their flocks, loving and protecting, yet encouraging freedom to function in one's gifts and callings. That's what I'm saying. We got to get to that. We got to get delivered from intimidation. We got to get delivered, praise God, from whatever little things that we got going on in us, whatever isms and schisms, whatever our jealousies are, amen, whatever our insecurities are. Let's deal with that stuff because we got to allow these gifts to have expression. We are stunting the growth of the church, of the local assembly because of our own issues. And the body cannot function as it should because of us and our flesh. Hallelujah. These pastors are true shepherds over their flocks, loving and protecting, yet encouraging freedom to function in one's gifts and callings. Relationship based on present-day truths will nurture, equip, and activate. Amen. And even give space to exercise. Give space to exercise. It is important. It is important that you are in a place where you are being nurtured, where you are being equipped, and where you are being activated. Activation comes as you exercise. Amen. Paul talked about us having our senses sharpened because of use. So the more you exercise, the sharper you get in the spirit. Amen. So it's important that, amen, your activation comes through exercising, by allowing God to use you. As often as you feel the Lord speaking to you, share it with the body. Amen. Allow yourself to be nurtured, amen, in the ministry. Allow yourself to be equipped. Allow yourself to pour out into the lives of others. These things are going to cause spiritual growth for you as an individual, and then also for the local body, because as you pour into others, it's going to strengthen. It's going to encourage them. Hallelujah. Amen. And the last section that we're going to deal with tonight is admonishing the apostolic church. That apostolic spirit will bring in a new level of admonishment or admonition. As a father is responsible for the raising of a child, correction and discipline is lovingly delivered as needed. So shall it be with God-ordained leadership, admonishing those under their care in a spirit of humility and love. Believers who have embraced the apostolic spirit will be teachable and willing to submit to authority. Now remember, we were just reading back on page 61. I want to hit a little corner there. Actually, page 61, the latter half of page 61, and it says, as spiritual dads, the team helps discern God's blueprint for each individual church with the realization that all churches are distinct due to such factors as culture, locality, the needs of the people, etc. Okay? There is a need for spiritual fathering and mothering. It's necessary. It's necessary. We need that parenting. We need a fatherly team. This is on page 62. They impart to the local church a deep sense of family and purpose through a growing demonstration of committed relationship and servanthood. Committed relationship and servanthood. We got to be committed to one another. Amen. We don't want to, amen, not love one another and give up on each other because we make mistakes. That's not a true relationship. How many times have we made mistakes ourselves and God has not given up on us? He has yet given us another chance. So we have got to learn, praise God, to endure. We've got to learn, amen, to hold on to God and follow what he has commanded us to do. Learn how to love each other through our differences. Learn how to long-suffer with one another. Amen. Believers who have embraced the apostolic spirit will be teachable and willing, nobody has to tie your hands behind your back, to submit to authority. We are commanded to esteem very highly in love those that are over us in the Lord and who admonish us, caring for the well-being of our souls. And I think we've kind of lost that a little bit because we feel threatened by authority. And sometimes because there have been prior abuses of authority through other ministries, when you see the real thing, we can't embrace it. And so that's an issue that needs to be addressed. That's definitely an issue that needs to be addressed. But you cannot, amen, praise God, you cannot keep holding on to that. You got to look forward, amen, and know, praise God, that God has you where he has you for such a time as this, and he wants to impart it to you. And so you have to love, amen, and move on. Amen. And sometimes we just need to lay hands on ourselves and say, I'm going to love and move on. Amen. It's what we need to do. We've all gone through situations and circumstances that would try to stunt our growth. But we have to be determined that we're not going to allow that to keep us from becoming all that God has commanded us to do. Colossians 3:16 tells us that we are to admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We are to love our brethren enough to lovingly rebuke them if we see them in error or danger. Not to tear down or destroy, but in love to protect, uplift, provoking one another to righteousness and good works. And that's Hebrews 10 and 20. Amen. Let us bear these things in mind. Amen. I pray that your heart has been stirred up on tonight, that you receive something, amen, through the teaching, amen. Lord willing, on next week, we're going to be talking about the apostolic spirit that is adjudicating, amen, accountable and affiliated, accurate, alert and awake, arbitrating and affectionate, amen, affirming and appreciative, ascetic, apprenticing, affluent and abounding, ardent, aflame, and afire. And we're going to talk about that. That will be chapters 8 through 17 on next week, Lord willing. So I want you to be encouraged, amen, and know, praise God, that you have got to stand. You've got to allow yourself to hear from God, amen, and be all that he has called you to be. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now, Lord God, for your presence, for your anointing, oh God, for all that you have said and done in our midst. I pray, God, that your people's hearts have been encouraged and strengthened. Lord, allow us, oh God, to walk, oh God, in the spirit that you have set for us. Lord, this pattern that you have set in your word, help us to follow this pattern. Help us, oh God, that we walk out right before you, God, obeying your word, obeying the truth of your word. Oh God, embracing, oh God, this present truth. In the name of Jesus, we come against every spirit that will fight against the word, oh God, and to steal it out of our heart. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory and honor and praise. In